El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Well, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. There are times during our breaks, if you've got Phil TV and HD, that I swear I sound exactly like Buddy Rich in those tapes. Have you ever heard the Buddy Rich tapes? Oh, they're beautiful, man. The Buddy Rich tapes is, he was a great jazz drummer, and he's a hell of a musician, great musician, but he would berate his band, and one of the musicians in his band brought a tape recorder on board the bus one day and recorded Buddy Rich's rants against his band. All of the guys, he's talking to these guys, he's calling them high school dropouts. He says, you guys can't play time. He says, you guys suck. He says, I played with the number one musicians. You guys sound like a bunch of high school dropouts, is what he used to say, you know, screaming and yelling at them. And I was going off during the break about something. And I think I sounded just like Buddy Rich. 877, so if you can at all make money on the outtakes of Phil TV and HD, remember, I own all of it, so sorry. 877-876-PHIL, I'll make the money. And welcome back. Among U.S. adolescents, misuse of prescription painkillers peaks at age 16 earlier than thought. A new large survey analysis reveals. What our findings suggest is that if we wait until the last year of high school or college to take some kind of action that could prevent the misuse of these painkillers, it'll be a case of too little too late, cautioned study co-author James Anthony, professor of epidemiology. Oh, I should know that word, epidemiology, and biostatistics in the Department of Epidemiology and Biostatistics, Michigan State University. In East Lansing. It's a question of education that we're going to bring on the line here. Both Vernon Dozier, who is a high school teacher, as well as Father James McQuarters, who also, Father McQuarters, as you know, is a priest there at Belmar Academy. Both of these men working very closely at Belmar Academy. Father McQuarters, how are you this evening?
Good evening, Phil.
And Vernon?
Hey, Phil.
And so we're talking here about the misuse of painkillers by teenagers. Not only misuse, we're talking about the abuse.
Right. The topic that I was going to talk about was the animal scapping.
Is that what I brought you on for?
That's what I thought, yeah.
And Father McQuarters?
No, I was going to speak on the painkillers, but I also... had spoken there. He said that you're talking about Skyping with the animals too, yes.
Well, is that what you were coming on for?
No, I'd be talking about the painkiller.
Okay. You're talking about adolescents taking too many painkillers.
That is right, yes.
I was brought on to talk about... I had told you that I wanted to come on and talk about animal Skyping. And right now we're just wrapping up a coach's dinner that Father McQuarters is at here, and we're having our coffee. And so I've got all the time in the world. I'm not, not leaving here anytime soon. So if you want to talk about kids taking painkillers, you know.
That was my topic, and I didn't know that that you'd be talking about something different.
I can talk about kids on painkillers. I mean, my opinion about kids on painkillers is real simple. I mean, they're going to take pain. You're not going to stop kids from taking painkillers. And so the best thing to do is just, you know, if they're going to take them, they're going to take them.
Right.
If they're going to take them, let them take them.
Well, I mean...
Here's my feeling, Phil, about young people that abuse these pills. I think that the young people are going to abuse the pills that are available to them. And if they die as a result of their drug abuse... then that is how it goes. I don't think... The older I get, you see, the tougher it is to care about it, you know?
I understand.
And what do you mean the older you get, the tougher it is to care about it?
I'm almost now, you know, Phil, I'm in my 70s now, and I don't... I get further and further away from the problems of youth. And so I say to myself, well, if they're going to take the pills and they're going to kill themselves, I can't bring myself to care that much. Since it really has nothing to do with me.
But you're a priest. You're a priest at Belmar Academy, which is a high school.
No, I'm a priest. I'm a priest at the Associated Parish, the Belmar Parish. So we have an awful lot of the elderly here as well. as well as young people in the school, you're right. But we've got younger priests to care about that.
So what you're saying is they should have brought a young priest on to talk about kids abusing pills.
It seems to stand to reason. I understand what the father's saying. He's old, and the older you get, the less you care about young people's problems, right?
That's exactly right, yes. For instance, there was a bond of some kind. I don't know if it's a bond or how they raised the taxes. And I came in the elections last year, and I found myself voting against it because they wanted to build schools. And I thought, well, what am I going to be around? First of all, I don't have any children, but even if I had grandchildren and so forth, I'm not going to be around to care whether there's a school built or not. It's my money, you see.
So you don't have any care or concern for the younger generation that's coming up?
I care, and I have concern, but it's not my primary care and concern. There's people with far more money and far more political clout than I do. I don't care one way or the other. It's interesting if they have a school built. But it's my money, you see. They're going to take the money away from the parish to build another school. I would much rather see them take the money and do something with the money that's going to benefit people of my age, you see.
But I understand what you mean about your age, but as a priest.
You keep doing the priest thing. He's a priest, but he's a priest for old people, right?
That's exactly correct. And so
you're a priest for old people.
Yes, I'm a priest for old people. That means that the problems of old people are the problems I care about, and they're the problems that I address. If a kid kills himself taking pills, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm tired of talking about it.
And you know what, Father? You don't know how lucky you are, because that's all I ever do. At my level, you know.
You know, you two guys couldn't be less, more insensitive or less sensitive. I'm talking here about kids taking painkillers.
Well, look, at how many times do you want to talk about that? How many times do you want
to... You know, the kids are going to take pills, and they're going to kill themselves, and there's nothing you or me or anyone's going to do anything about it. Sure, I can go down there and tell him about it's a bad thing, but you waste all this time on the issues of the young, and meanwhile, there's people like myself and other people in the parish of my age, and we're slowly rotting away, until one day they're going to find us dead for weeks, and I'm trying to cushion that fall a little bit.
Well, I don't know how we made the mistake then of having you two guys on here to talk about this problem. I couldn't have found two guys more insensitive about the problem. And
I thought I was coming on to talk about dogs, people Skyping their dogs.
I said what I wanted to say about the pills.
So that you were going to come on here and just talk about kids, whatever the hell, they're going to take pills, let them kill themselves.
Pretty much, yeah. And I know it shocks you, it shocks you.
I appreciate the candor, Father.
What do you got to say about Skype?
Come on, Phil, you start to be a big baby about it.
No, I'm asking Vernon, what do you got to say about Skype?
Well, don't get that attitude, okay? We came on here, we told you what we thought about 16-year-olds popping pills. What do you want us to do? Do you want us to turn this into some kind of a touchy-feely round table on the poor drug-addicted kids? God almighty, Henry. When you did that whole thing for my friend's place...
I'm not talking about kids on pills, okay? We're all done with that. What about dogs being Skyped by their owners?
I'm all done talking about it, and I don't know nothing about Skype.
Why don't you get lost, Father, okay?
What's that?
I said, why don't you get lost?
Father, thank you very much, okay?
I heard what the man...
Every time he hangs around and he starts in with his moralizing. And
well, he sure wasn't moralizing there. He sure wasn't moralizing there. All the kids with their pills, oh, well, what the hell, you know.
Well, Phil, how many times do you want to talk about kids having drug problems, huh? How many times do you want to talk about kids having drug problems? I understand totally what the father's talking about. Kids and their drug problems. You know, either they're going to live or they're going to die. And I think the way we ought to look at it is the way they looked at youth in the Middle Ages. You know, if the kids survived past the age of 7, then you thought maybe, just maybe, you'd put some time and some sweat into raising that kid. But I think these days, we have to wait and see whether the kid makes it past 15, 16. Because you don't know whether that kid's going to blow his brains out, or he's going to drop too many pills, or...
And so up until then, we just sort of treat them as things, huh? Maybe that's what we're doing anyway. Maybe that's why they're on the pills.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's exactly right, Phil. If we just keep right on being... You know, we've done everything that we can.
And you're a teacher. This guy was a priest. You're a teacher.
Yeah. So what? I do everything I can to teach these kids what I can. Now you want me to get into their psyche and figure out. We haven't been able to figure this out for 40 years, Henry. 40 years, back when you were in high school, kids were dropping too many pills, smoking all kinds of that dope. No. I'm here to talk about people that Skype their dogs. I'm here to talk about dogs. That's something you can do something about. Dogs.
And what's your feeling about that?
Well, are you going to break for commercials?
You know something? Everybody around here is all of a sudden concerned about when I break for commercials. I'll break for a commercial. What do I need to break for? Okay, I got to break for a commercial.
That's what I thought.
Okay, well, hold on. We'll be right back, and we'll talk about dogs. We were going to talk about 16-year-old kids taking too many pills, but Father McCorders and Vernon Dozier, they've pretty much figured out there's no point in talking about it. They're going to take pills. What the hell? Let's talk about something we can do something about. Dogs. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445.
You got a kid that you just told him he was a boring SOB.
I just said you're boring, man.
And he's still hanging on.
Yeah, he's hanging on. He's lonely. So let's talk.
Well, that's my whole point, though, you know, and I shouldn't say this, but these kids are taking pills, and there's nothing you can do about it. They're a pain in the, you know what. Let me tell you, I'm a teacher. And I have been a teacher, and I love the kids, but they are as bothersome a bunch of people. They don't stop bothering you, and they don't stop, with their problems. And
well, isn't that what kids are, full of problems?
Yeah, well, you're the guy that just said this one guy's a pain in the ass.
I'm a talk show host, man. I'm not a teacher. You know, here's the thing. I'm not going to, you know, that's not my job. I don't give a damn how often people want to give me the job. I do not accept the job of parent, guardian, big brother, uncle, none of that. That's, people have those already. I'm a talk show host. I'm an entertainer, blah, blah, whatever you want to call me. I'm on the radio. I try to kill 3 hours of boredom every night for people. Sometimes I'm successful. Maybe sometimes I'm not. I don't give a damn one way or the other. This is what I do. So I'm not anybody's daddy.
Well, people don't see you that way.
Well, they better start seeing me that way. Because I'm not interested in people's problems. I'm not interested in solving anybody. The only guy's problem that I'm interested in is my own. Okay? I mean, I'm interested in the world's problems as it pertains to, you know, making society a better place. But I'm not going to sit here. I ain't running the Dr. Laura show here.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you something. You're on the radio right now, and you're basically telling everyone that you couldn't give a damn whether they live or die. And I'll tell you, I got to, you know.
That's not the case. I didn't say that at all. I'm just saying that I'm not their daddies. You understand?
Well, let me say something to you, Phil, along this line, because I know that we were on here. I was going to talk about the dogs.
Yeah, well, can we get to that, okay? We already figured out that 16-year-olds don't matter to you at all, and you don't give a damn if they all die. And
well, what are you saying?
I'm not saying I hope they all die. I'm just saying I'm not their daddy. Okay? You're a teacher. Don't you think you ought to care?
I just got done telling you. Boy, I just got done telling you that I do care. And I've tried to care. And it doesn't matter if I care. Okay? Because I've tried over and over again to get through to these kids. And they're stupid.
All right, now look.
No, hold on. You wanted me to say it, I'm going to say it. They're stupid. These kids that take these pills, these kids that are killing themselves at 16 and 15 are stupid.
All right, now you're getting a little.
Oh, now I'm getting what? Now I'm not being accepted. You were just now saying you're not their daddy.
I'm telling you, you asked me why aren't I doing something about it. I'm a talk show host. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life.
All right, now I'm telling you why I don't do something about it. Now you listen to me.
You're a teacher.
You just hold on for a minute and listen.
You're a teacher, though.
Would you please listen?
Is it? Are you not a teacher? Are you not a teacher?
Listen to me. Yes. The answer to your question is yes, I'm a teacher. And I'm a good one. In fact, I'm not only a good one, I'm a great one. But I can't do anything about a kid that's going to take a bunch of pills and he's going to stick them down his throat. I can't do anything about that.
You can't.
No, I can't. What do you think I'm going to do? You think I'm Superman, huh? You think I'm Batman? You think somebody throws a big bat? What do you call that bat that they did? Remember the bat?
Batman, yeah.
No, the bat that the guy put up in the air.
The big bat spotlight?
Yes. Excuse me. I'm sorry, Phil.
Boy, you know something? You're so out of control tonight. You're screaming, you're yelling, you're belching.
Do you think I'm a guy? Let's just stick to the point, okay?
You mind not belching?
I had a Diet Coke. Do you mind? Now, do you think someone's going to put a big bat signal up there and say, hey, help me? I can't do that. Now, I came on your program tonight to talk about something I can do something about, and that's dogs and people that Skype their dogs. Now, if you miss your dog and you Skype your dog, and you Skype your dog, that means you're calling up your dog. You're calling up your dog. I don't even have the words. Oh.
All right, I'm sorry that I brought up the whole kid thing. I mean, you know.
I dealt with it. Father McCorders was here with me.
We got Father McCorders back on the line. Father, hold on. He's on line four. Father McCorders is back on the line. Father, you're listening to this, right?
I am listening to it, Phil. And I want to sit down and, there's no point of you getting here. It sounds to me like you're going to have a stroke.
Father, Henry wanted to keep on pressing the point home.
Phil, you hear what we're saying? That the 16-year-olds are going to pop the pills. They're going to take the painkillers and so on and so forth. And they're going to kill themselves. There's nothing we can do about it. And I'd rather do things about people that I can do things for, and those are the elderly.
So let the kids die.
Let the kids die, yes.
God!
And as I said before, and Vernon made the point, they've been killing themselves for decades on pills. Now, I have been waiting patiently to hear about the dog and the Skype, and I don't even know what it is, but it sounds fascinating, and I've called up to ask the two of you, in the name of the Virgin, in the name of the Mother of God, I'm asking you to do the decent thing here and talk about the Skype and the dog and the owners and the stupid and that. I don't want to hear any more about.
I apologize, Father. That's my problem. I let it get away from me.
Well, would you please get the show under control?
I'm the host. I'll get it under control.
Then do something about it, will you? I tried to sit here. I'm standing here. I want to hear about the Skype.
See what happened?
Not my fault. Not my fault at all. You guys were going to come on.
No, I told you I wanted to talk about the dogs and Skype, and you went on with the pills. Now listen. I don't want to talk anymore about it. You understand?
I understand.
I don't want to talk anymore about it. Kids today, the teenagers today, are dead. They're dead to me. Yes, I'm a high school teacher, and yes, I got to go into my job every day, and I got to pretend like I care, but I'm telling you, between you and me, they are dead to me.
You are a sick man.
Oh, really? Am I a sick man, Mr. Henry?
Yes, you're a sick man. You're a sick man to talk that way about a generation of young people. A generation of young people that you're in charge of. Okay, so you want to talk about the dogs?
Ooh.
Vernon, do you want to talk about the dogs?
Ooh.
Yes, I want to talk about it. Are you all done lecturing me on what a sick animal I am?
No, I'm not.
Ooh.
I think the kids are in trouble. This whole generation of kids are in trouble. And you're a private school teacher.
Ooh.
Are you not a private school teacher?
No.
What a punk. All right, we'll be back with Vernon Dozier. You want to talk about the Skypes, huh?
What? It's called Skype. The dogs are plural. Skype is singular.
We're going to come back and talk about Skype with Vernon Dozier, who don't care about dead kids overdosing on pills.
Ooh.
On the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Ooh.
Mr. Henry. Mr. Jones is talking about kids in a bad way, and I think that we really ought to...
Shut up, you punk. Get him down.
Phil Henry. Listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Why are you on the air?
I said that I wanted to come on. I wanted to speak with Vernon about the Skyping.
Father, this is Vernon Dozier. I had already I told Mr. Henry what I was going to talk about.
No, I know, but I if I could insert some of the things that I want to say.
You want to insert some things, huh?
Why don't you grow up?
All right, well, what are you guys going to do now? You going to argue?
I'm not arguing about anything. The father called up. He was going to be part of the pill-popping session, which both of us agreed is not worth our time or trouble.
Well, I wanted to talk about it. I don't even know why I'm keeping you on the air.
Well, the fact is you did keep him on the air.
Fact is you did keep me on the air because you want to hear me talk about Skype and dogs, you know.
But I wanted to come on and give my comment about the Skype of the dogs because
it's not called Skype of the dogs. It's called Skype and your dog.
Well, what is that, sexual or something? Why don't you get with it?
Sexual? What kind of a priest?
You guys work together all day long, and you're coming on my show, and you can't get it. And you, Father McQuarters, ought to be ashamed of yourself for that reference, and why I even am continuing with this discussion.
Well, why are you continuing with the discussion?
Maybe it's because you need us. You thought about that?
Well, I'll hang up on your asses right now.
Woo!
Yeah, look, that's not me. That's McQuarters.
Is that you, Father? Is that you, Father?
I'm not doing it.
Boy, you guys are children, aren't you?
I mean, look, all I'm saying here is that I came on for one reason.
Father McQuarters, is that you? Okay, then I'll hang up on you, okay?
Why would you hang up on me? Because I'm telling the truth? Because I'm telling people, just as Vernon did, that you've got all kinds of bravado, and you've got all kinds of threats of people. But you got me on because you want to talk about these issues, because you don't know how to talk about them.
I can talk about them fine, and I ought to hang up on you, is what I said.
God, what a pain in the ass.
What did you call me?
You know something? Hang up on Father McQuarters. All right, you there, Vernon?
I'm here, yeah. I'm set to go. I thought he... Did you
put him on hold?
Yeah.
I said to hang up on the guy. Don't put him on hold.
Look, I don't need this, Mr. Henry. I come on your program to comment on the story. And if you have Father McQuarters on for comic relief...
I don't bring a Catholic priest on, and I've never had him on for comic relief. And when I said to hang up on the father, that's what I meant, bud. Do you understand? Okay. Vernon Dozier joins us now as we talk about missing the dog. Say hello on Skype. This is interesting.
It really is, Phil. And it's. Is that that guy?
Is that you, Father? Bud?
I don't know.
You better figure it out, or I'm going to come over there. I'm going to beat you up. I don't care if there's dead air. And then I'm going to come back and finish the show.
That was me. I'm sorry. That was me.
All right. What am I doing here, man? Am I running a kindergarten or am I doing a talk show?
I'm sorry, Phil. I shouldn't have done that.
All right. Missing the dog? Say hello to Skype. It's a feeling dog owners know all too well. The guilt brought on by the hurt look in your pet's eyes when you leave home. When you leave them at home alone.
Now, here's what I wanted to comment on, Phil. Number one, when we anthropomorphize a dog, and what I mean by that is we give a dog human traits. We are not doing that animal a service. Dogs are not getting sad. They're not depressed. They simply don't know where their owner is. It might be good. It might be bad. It doesn't make any difference to them. They could care. And the thing about a dog, and this is what people don't understand, I've had a lot of dogs. I had Weimaraners. I had a collie when I was a young boy because the Lassie show was very popular.
What do you call it? The Lassie show is very popular.
Okay, bud.
I don't know how he got on.
Get him out of here.
You gonna kick his ass?
I may kick his ass later. You take over the phones.
How do I got on there?
You're doing it on purpose, and you know.
Is that Dave Dickman put him on, didn't he?
Yeah, Dickman and him, they think it's a big joke. Go ahead.
All right, so the Lassie show, it's hard for me to keep going because I've just been mocked by, and I don't care if someone makes fun of me, but when someone makes fun of an animal that I loved.
I don't think he was making fun of the...
Yeah, it was. He was saying Lassie. I heard it. Hold on, I just got to pull myself together on that one. Oh, God. Oh, man.
All he said was he made fun of the notion of Lassie.
I understand that, but it just pissed. In any event, Phil, I've had a lot of dogs. And dogs, I can tell you this, Phil, from experience. They call dogs man's best friend. No, dogs are not man's best friend. Dogs will be loyal to you as long as you feed them and you give them a big rawhide bone to chew on and you give them a bed to sleep in and you pet them. They're loyal up to that point. After that, they look out for themselves. And I don't know what people are talking. People know this is true. Dogs are among some of the most disloyal animals that I think the world has ever seen. I think dogs, in many ways, are the equal of men when it comes to their fickle nature and it's tough for me to say this, just the backstabbing. You know,
well, how can a dog be a
I understand that. It's not an intelligent thing, but it is the nature of a dog. They've gotten so much publicity, dogs have, about being good, friendly. They are the lyingest, most backstabbing, most disloyal creatures the world has ever seen, I think. And I know I speak from experience. Now, please give me that dignity for a moment. And
well, how does that...
Would you just let me finish, please?
I know, but can I just ask, how does it manifest?
All right, now I'm going to play the part of Father McQuarters. I'm sorry, forgive me, Phil, but how does it manifest? That's exactly what you just did.
Okay, did you get your jollies there?
I'm not trying to get my jollies. I'm trying to illustrate to you how you're bothering me. Now, I said, and I'm going to repeat myself, dogs lie. Dogs will stick it in your back when you're not looking. Dogs will sink one right into your back. If a dog had the ability to take a shiv, to work a shank in a cell, all right, let's go whole hog on the fantasy. If dogs were sharing a cell with you, they would secrete or otherwise hide a shank, work it with the cement in the cell or some other kind of abrasive, and then when you...
Okay, I get your point. What a ridiculous... I get your point. You don't like dogs.
I didn't...
How could you say that when I didn't...
Well, do you like dogs or don't you?
I like dogs.
Well, then what are you talking about? A dog will stick a shank in your back.
I'm trying to make a point, Phil, that dogs are not all that. Everybody will tell you, no matter who they are, their dog is just this. Like, dogs don't get sad. So when you turn on a Skype account for your dog, and you call a Skype account, and you see your dog, in this case, it was a couple, they got a little puppy, and they named the puppy Pizza. Okay, that's real cute. They live in Brooklyn. Great, fine, fantastic. Now they call up the Skype account, and there's the dog sitting there, and the dog looks sad to this guy. Well, no, dogs aren't sad. Dogs don't get sad. Dogs simply want to know, where's the food? Where's the ball? Where are the humans? That's all. The look on their face is not sadness. It's not happiness. It's simply, where is that activity that ordinarily I would be, I'd do?
Okay, but if they don't have the activity, do they miss it?
What do you mean, miss it? Are you saying, are they depressed?
No, I just, so, all right, what's going through the dog's mind?
What's going through the dog's mind is activity known as ball, food, human, not here. Must find other activity. Barring that, we'll go to default activity, which is sleep or defecate. One of the two. That's what dogs do. If there is no food, if there is no ball, if there is no human, if there is no cat to chase, default activity is sleep or to eliminate. And in many ways, that's the same as human beings. But that doesn't mean they're upset or sad. It means they go from one activity to another activity. Now, if any of the activities are there, such as ball, cat...
What do you mean by cat?
Chase a cat or something. You know.
All right, so another animal?
Well, it depends. I mean, if it's another dog, then they play. But if it's a cat, the cat they're going to go after, you know, just to say they did. You know, dogs in their own way have that kind of pecking order. And to be able to say, you know, I took off after a cat today, and they're not going to say it.
So now you're attributing some kind of a human...
No, I'm not. I'm simply saying that when dogs bond, or when dogs fraternize, not fraternize, but when dogs get together at the end of the day...
That sounds to me like you're giving...
You're interrupting me again, Phil, so now I have to mock you. That's what you sounded like right there.
I'm sorry. I'm the host of the show. I'll interrupt you.
Interrupt me? You just missed
it. You know what? If you don't like the way I'm saying things or interrupting or anything, you can hang up right now. You can hang up right now.
I don't want to hang up.
Why?
Because I want to say what I want to say.
All right, then just be quiet for a minute. You are giving dogs the very anthropomorphic features that you said we should not give them.
How am I doing that?
Well, you're saying when they fraternize at the end of the day...
Whatever dogs do at the end of a day, not at the end of a day, I don't know how long a dog day goes. You see what I'm saying? At the end of a dog, there must be some cycle of activity that at the end of that cycle, dogs will gather.
And what?
And talk about what they did that day.
Talk about what they did that day. So that is...
Well, Mr. Henry, your condescension, you know...
Well, that's exactly what you said dogs don't do. That's an anthropomorphic thing.
How?
Are you kidding? That's what humans do at the end of a work day, at the end of a human cycle.
Well, I could see your eyes widen when you... I bet you were all... Mm-hmm. I said whatever a dog day is. So we know that 1 year is equal to 7 in the dog...
Do dogs have some calendar?
No, of course they don't.
Then what, you know...
I'm just... Whatever a dog feels is a day.
Maybe it's a full, like a human day.
No, it couldn't be a human day, because the point that I'm trying to make, Mr. Henry, that you're trying to get me off of my point, I think it's very interesting with the technique you're using.
It's not a technique. It's not a technique at all, Vernon. I'm just trying to get you to make some sense here. You know...
laughing at me, and I've got students listening tonight, so I'm going to go into class tomorrow, and people are going to basically say, hey, Mr. Dozier, we heard Mr. Henry last night when he tied your arms to the shower faucet, dropped the soap.
Okay, and there you go again, feeling sorry for yourself. The point that I'm making here, Mr. Dozier, is that you have given these animals the very anthropomorphic characteristics that you said other humans give them and should not. So if you have a dog that gets you think is getting sad, is not being sad. And if you have a dog that you think is a deceptive, backstabbing bastard, that's what you said, you know.
But I didn't put it like that.
How did you put it then?
I said dogs are not man's best friend. Dogs can,
for the right price?
Not for the, yeah, for the, if you give a dog a better rawhide bone, or say, if you give a dog a chew toy, or let's say you give a dog a chew, like a rawhide chew, that's better than what you know, than his other owner, which gave him maybe a fabric monkey. You know, have you ever seen a fabric monkey? Okay, Mr. Henry?
Yes.
Is that, yes, you've seen one? Or
yes, I know what you mean, like a chew toy?
No, but it's a fabric toy. It's like a fabric monkey. Have you ever seen a fabric monkey?
Yes, I've seen a fabric monkey.
Well, now I know you're lying.
Okay, buddy, what difference does it make?
All right, so if you give your dog a fabric monkey and the guy down the street gives him a rawhide chew, what do you think that dog's going to do? He's going to drop you like a bad habit. He's going to drop you like a bad, he's going to drop you like a bad smell.
God. Are you emotional?
Forget it.
All right, we'll be right back. See if we can't get Vernon back to, you know, see if we can't get him calmed down. We'll be right back here on The Word. If the dog's going to drop you like a bad smell, man. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I'm going to get Margaret Gray on the line here from Santa Monica, California tonight. Margaret, go ahead.
Oh, hi, Phil. I wanted to ask the gentleman you've got on, Vernon. Vernon, hi. Margaret?
Yes, ma'am.
What do you recommend? Have you ever watched The Dog Whisperer?
Have I ever watched The Dog Whisperer? I've watched The Dog Whisperer many times, yeah.
Do you recommend what he does? I've seen him strap the water bottles to the back of one of the dogs as a way of exercising the dog. And then he goes, I want to have a bottle of water. And he'll grab and he'll say, come here, Pooch, Pooch, Poochie, or whatever he named the dog. And the dog goes back and he gets a bottle of water.
You're talking about the
Dog Whisperer?
Who am I speaking with?
This is Phil, Margaret.
Yes, the Dog Whisperer.
And I'm here, too.
And you're Mr. Dozier, right? Yes. I was primarily talking to you, but Phil asked the question.
Right. First of all, I'm not the Dog Whisperer. You know that, right?
No, I know that, but I thought you did something similar.
No, I don't do anything similar to the Dog Whisperer.
No, he's on here talking about how dogs are, if I may say...
I can speak for myself, Mr. Henry. Thank you very much. I appreciate that, though. I was initially on, ma'am...
You don't do what the Dog Whisperer does?
If I can finish... No, I don't, ma'am.
All right.
I came on the program because I wanted to talk about how some people are, people are getting phone calls from their dogs.
People are getting phone calls from their...
I'm sorry, not...
People are setting up Skype accounts.
Phil, I can do it, okay?
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
Hold on, let me finish.
People are putting up Skype accounts for what, for dogs?
Yeah.
You let me do what I'm doing. I'm the guest talking to a caller.
But she was confused.
I know she was confused.
Well, the question I have is, you don't do what the Dog Whisperer do or does?
I don't do what he do. I don't. I'm not here to be a whisperer of anything. You know what? I'd love for the Dog Whisperer if I could just tell you a little bit of a joke, which is kind of a half joke and a half true statement.
Could you get to the whole Skype thing too?
Yes, ma'am. I will. But I want the. This is my little joke. I hope someday the Dog Whisperer becomes a cat whisperer. And the reason why I say that is, can you imagine trying to whisper to a cat?
I imagine it would just claw your face right off.
There, you said the magic word right there. You got that right. No cat is going to let you go, hey, let me just tell you about that.
No, cats would not allow that.
Wait, hold on. The Dog Whisperer doesn't go, hey, let me tell you about it.
Why do they call him that?
Because he's a guy that knows about dogs.
Cats?
Dogs! The whole reason why they called him a Dog Whisperer is because there was a book out about the Horse Whisperer, and that was somebody, I don't know who the hell, a long time ago or currently or whatever.
No, I think it was fairly contemporaneous.
Okay, fine. And it was somebody that could talk to horses, and I think they actually literally would go to the split rail fence where the horse pasture was, and the horse would come over, and they'd sort of talk into the ear of the horse as if they were whispering to the horse. And they became very, well...
I bet you want to say the word conversant, don't you?
Yeah, they became conversant with horses.
Well, and that's impossible, and that's the whole point, I think, of what Vernon is saying, which I disagree with. That's why I wanted to know if you... But I guess you don't.
I don't what, ma'am?
You're not a Dog Whisperer.
No, for the 15th time, no, I'm not.
Well, you sound hostile.
To be honest with you, I'd rather take a sip out of a toilet at Dodger Stadium than be a dog whisperer. Okay?
Yeah, but that cat whispering thing sounds like it's right up your alley.
No, that's not what he said.
That's not what I said. I said I hope that guy that is the dog whisperer becomes a cat whisperer, and a cat takes off on his face. That's what I said.
Well, all right, so I've got the wrong show.
Yeah, you've got the wrong show everything. Goodbye.
What a pain in...
All right, now, what I was saying...
We're out of time.
Yeah, of course you're out of time. Of course you're out of time. Let me just say, whoever that guy is that's the dog whisperer, go ahead and whisper into a cat's ear and see what the cat does. Cats won't put up with that. Cats won't stand for it. You can whisper all you want into a dog's ear because a dog doesn't mind being degraded, even though they are backstabbing sons of... Well,
you know what? You could say that a dog is a son of a bitch because they are.
Okay, ding, ding for you. Score one for Mr. Henry. Made a big, big point. Big man, huh? You didn't help me at all this hour. You didn't do...
We'll be right back with our news and information hour. Thanks, folks.
And you cut me off. You can...
Hey, Vernon, I'm a cat.
Hey, Vernon, I'm a cat whisperer.